This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Since legislators voted to cut $125 million from the University of Wisconsin system last year, faculty, staff, and administration have voiced their concerns about how the cuts are impacting regional campuses. Faculty senates at many four-year campuses and the UW College's Senate have recently passed votes of no confidence in UW System President Ray Cross and the Board of Regents. In all this turmoil, many are wondering what the future holds for the UW system. Joining us to talk about the climate on local UW campuses are UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao and UW La Crosse Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach. You know, as we start this conversation, I just want to ask both of you, you know, who do you feel like you represent in this discussion on UW system issues? And I don't know if Chancellor Gao, we want to start with you.
Aha. Well, that's a complex question. I mean, I'm obviously very engaged on campus, and I care deeply about what our people are thinking. And, you know, I spend a great deal of time on campus, and it's where I frankly probably feel most at home. So I have deep connections to students, faculty, staff, you know, the community, alumni, and so on. But there is a big part of my job that, you know, requires me to be in Madison and to work with legislators and the UW Central Administration and, you know, people who are not here on a day-to-day basis. And I like to think good relationships there, too. So to be honest, in a lot of these events, I've been really in an awkward position, sometimes, you know, really uncomfortable, you know, because there are some pretty big divisions at times. And, you know, I've tried to do my best to walk the middle of that, but that it can be challenging.
Absolutely. And Brad, you know, who do you feel like you're kind of representing in this discussion?
That's a much easier question for me. I represent, as a faculty member, I represent my students, both the current students and the ones that I expect to teach during the rest of my time here. First and foremost, I think every faculty member would answer pretty much in the same way. Secondarily, as the chair of the Faculty Senate, I'm representing the interests of the faculty themselves, including both those who have tenure and those who don't have tenure, and really helping ensure that we as faculty are able to do our best job in the teaching and the research that we do.
And Brad, you know, the UWL Faculty Senate is one of the campus senates that has passed a no confidence vote in UW leadership. You know, why did the Faculty Senate here at UWL want to pass that vote?
The primary reason why is, I'd like to list two primary reasons, actually. If you take a look at the no confidence resolution that we passed, at least the first dozen things that are listed there as grievances are instances in which we feel that the dialogue that should exist, where in order to make significant changes in the UW campuses and how they operate, there is no effective dialogue going on between faculty and UW system leadership. In fact, there are quite a few circumstances in which that dialogue has been purposely short-circuited. And so that's the biggest reason for the vote of no confidence, is that we don't feel like anyone is listening. They don't wish to listen, and in some cases have gone out of their way to preclude the dialogue from occurring. The other primary reason is that we feel, with the significant budget cuts that have happened, and that we envision as probably things that are coming still, under our current climate, we feel like the job of educating students here is getting to be much more difficult, and that it will have a significant impact on the quality of education and the breadth of education that we're able to offer.
And so what outcomes are you hoping to accomplish? You know, what are you hoping comes from this vote?
Honestly, there is not much that I expect to have come from this vote in a positive way. What it does essentially is to let people know what the depth of concern is. So that is really what I hope is taken as the message. I hope that it is not taken just as an insult. It isn't intended that way. It's a look at the seriousness of this concern. It is the most, the best expression of the frustration of faculty at each of the institutions that have now signed on to a similar measure that we can make.
And Chancellor Gao, you know, you have said that the vote came as a surprise to you at first. Can you kind of explain that?
Well, I think the particular vote happening the day it did, I didn't know that was coming. I guess at that time there were discussions happening on campuses all over the system, so I don't know that I was, flat out surprised. But I was driving to a system meeting in Madison on a Thursday early evening, and I got a call from a reporter at a local newspaper, and he said, "Oh, this happened," and I said, "Gee, oh, okay, I didn't know that was happening today," and there we are.
And what is your take on this vote and, what it might mean for UWL and for the UW system?
I prefer to look at sort of what I think is the root issue. And to me, that's legislators. And, this was a very unusual budget that we had in a lot of ways. Some might say that the huge $250 million cut was not unusual given the pattern we've seen of late, but I think it was. And then more unusual was policy being made in the budget process at the 11th hour through the Joint Finance Committee, with no public discussion at all. I mean, significant changes to tenure and shared governance in Wisconsin. And I think that's not the way this should have been done. I think if people think that changes need to be made and they're beneficial, they should stand up and say that in public. There should be an opportunity to have a good open discussion and debate on that. That really didn't happen. And I think that led to a lot of frustration on the part of faculty, staff, students too. Who just felt, wow, how can that be? We have a long tradition of being consulted and, collaborating on major policy decisions. And here that was pretty well flipped on its head suddenly. And still, I don't know what legislators, who are the authors of that language in the omnibus motion. So, that to me is really where I want to put the focus and make sure that doesn't happen again in the upcoming biennial budget, because I think that would be very unfortunate. And I don't know that the public has really seen that, that this major changes, made without any real public debate.
But these no confidence resolutions, they're in no confidence in President Ray Cross and the Board of Regents. So, from your perspective, do you feel like maybe that no confidence is misplaced and should lie with legislators who are making those budget decisions?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the climate on regional UW campuses, how last year's budget cuts have sparked controversy among faculty administration over university leadership. We're here with UW Chancellor Joe Gao and UW Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach. Now, another reporter at WPR has talked with a few experts who looked into no confidence votes at different universities across the U.S. and in the past 10 years. And, this expert said that he doesn't really think that no confidence votes actually tend to cause leadership changes. What are your thoughts on this issue, Brad? Do you think that all of these no confidence votes from several campuses and the UW colleges, are those actually going to cause leadership changes in the, whether it be the Board of Regents or the president position?
I don't expect that there will be leadership changes that can be tied directly to these no confidence votes. My expectation really is that the no-confidence votes will gain the attention of those individuals in whom no confidence has been stated, and it certainly has done that. And my hope is that they will have a productive response to it rather than a destructive response to it. They are in control of that.
And Chancellor Gao, you know, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said that he thinks these no-confidence votes are a mistake, is what he's called them. You know, do you feel like the intent behind passing these resolutions is appropriate, or do you think that this is not, you know, a good time for the UW system to be kind of turning on its leadership?
Well, people have, you know, debated, I think, ever since the issue of fund balances was so controversial. What should our approach to legislators be? And, you know, there's been one school of thought that says, well, we need to be very sensitive and accommodating and so on. There's another school of thought that's, you know, let's fight the fight, take them on, that kind of thing. I think we need to find a place where we can, you know, be assertive about our views. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of old-fashioned politics. I mean, people have never all gotten along. I mean, it, you know, there's a way that you express your opposition or reservation, disagreements, and you can do that diplomatically. And so I guess, you know, on the no-confidence vote, if the speaker's going to say that's a mistake, I guess he's saying, well, that's going to mean that legislators aren't going to, you know, think highly of the faculty and staff. I'm not entirely sure what he means by that. But, you know, I think Ray Cross's reaction was more appropriate, that, you know, he doesn't agree with it, but he does respect the faculty's right to do that. And I think that needs to be made clear. You know, we have to have an avenue for our people to be heard. I don't think that, you know, anyone is well served if we have a process where it's just sort of one group decides here's how things are going to be, and anybody who says anything differently, well, that's a mistake, and we're going to, you know, punish them. I think that would not be the way to go on this. So again, I think we're going to see in the upcoming budget process, you know, really how this impacts.
And Chancellor Gao, you know, how has last year's budget cuts affected UW-La Crosse?
Well, there are jobs that are lost. And I'll grant that at UWL, we have sufficient turnover that we're able to time the cuts in a way that we eliminated jobs that didn't have people in them. But it's 45 jobs, and in a community like La Crosse, you know, that's a significant contribution to the economy. And so I think that's the thing that people need to look at. Obviously, it's a very detrimental thing to the quality of the university. It's not what we want. We know that. But I think the public, you know, really the only way to kind of get through is to remind them, you know, hey, these are people who are not going to come here and buy houses, take out loans to do that, buy cars, shop at the mall, buy their food locally. You know, so it doesn't help the people of La Crosse in any way, shape, or form.
Do you think it's also impacted the morale of faculty, staff, even students on campus?
Well, there's an old saying that morale couldn't be any worse, and I don't know. It really... You know, I'd be naive if I told you that there hasn't been an incredible hit to morale, and this has been coming for some time. You know, the fact that there's pay plans in our system have been few and far between over my 9 years, and then the changes to health insurance and the pension contributions. You know, our people really are making less in most instances than they were in the years past. That's just not right. And the amazing thing is here at UWL, we're very fortunate that the university continues to get accolades and be acknowledged. You know, 4 out of the last 5 years, Wisconsin Professor of the Year is a UWL faculty person. I mean, we're on the Kiplinger's 100 list every time, the always top ranked in U.S. News. You know, those are great things. And if they're happening and our people are getting their pay reduced, and then they're being told, well, you know, the way we've done shared governance and tenure, it's not going to be the same. Yeah, that's real hard to say it's not having an impact on morale, for sure.
And I definitely want to get back to the issue of tenure later. But, you know, Brad, I would pose the same question to you. From your perspective, you know, how have the last year's budget cuts affected UW-La Crosse?
I do want to answer that. I'd like to actually draw on one of the things Joe just said, though, and that is it seems particularly insupportable to be making significant budget reductions, making changes to shared governance, ability to participate, changes to the tenure status of a campus like UWL that's been winning accolades for what it's been doing over the last decade. Those cuts seem particularly like a punishment for doing a good job. And so in that sense, what's the effect on morale of these cuts? It's horrible. We do have a very poor morale. The no confidence vote is a measure of exasperation on the part of the faculty. That's a large group of people at the campus. I represent, you know, about 500 individuals on campus who are employed here. And morale has taken a major dive as a result of the cuts in the budget and in the changes in shared governance and tenure over the last 2 years. I meet regularly with the other shared governance leaders who represent our physical plan employees, our students, our academic staff who are not teachers. And they also are feeling the brunt of this and are very demoralized. So it is causing more turnover. I can't tell you exactly what the percentage is, and I don't have enough data to tell you what the significance is, but I can tell you when you take a look at the turnover in jobs, it's significantly higher over the last 2 years than what it had been in the 4 or 6 years prior to that. And some people are leaving just because it's time to retire, but we have quite a few people who are looking elsewhere for jobs that might pay better, places where they feel they are valued, rather than places where they feel they are being insulted on a regular basis.
And, you know, obviously the cuts to the UW system, you know, was in the news everywhere. I mean, do you feel like this has also made it harder to hire other teachers to fill those turnover positions?
It has made it harder to hire in some places. Not all areas of the university are having difficulty hiring right now. There are some places where the gap in pay between what we are offering here versus what a person might make in private industry is so large that it's very difficult. Because we are a quality institution, we're generally able to compete for people who are mostly looking at academic positions. Our biggest problem in pay gap is for people who have been here for a few years because they've not been getting salary increases at all. That extends back, as Chancellor Gao had said, that extends back probably on the order of 12 to 14 years since the last significant state pay plan came through helping employees here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just going to say, Chancellor Gao, I didn't know if you had any thoughts on how this has affected hiring at positions, too.
Well, I do know I travel frequently. And when people learn I'm from Wisconsin and in higher education, they have a lot of questions. So it is getting publicity. I don't think I would call that favorable publicity. So my hunch is there probably are a significant number of people who might have thought about applying for a position in the UW system on one of the campuses and have seen all this and said, gee, you know, I don't think that's a state that's headed in the right direction with higher ed. So it's hard to know who didn't apply.
That's UWL Chancellor Joe Gao here with us today to talk about recent no confidence votes at UW campuses in our region. Also joining our conversation is UW Professor and Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Brad, are you aware of, kind of the morale or the feeling of other faculty on other campuses in our region, whether it be at some of the UW colleges or in our area or even other four-year campuses?
Yes, I have been in communication with a number of other faculty leaders from campuses around the system. And most of the campuses are in very similar circumstances to what we have here. They have all heard the same sorts of charges leveled at faculty and staff from the state political arena. We have also all dealt with significant budget cuts coming from state funding being reduced and tuition being frozen. And I would have to say, if anything, most of my colleagues at other campuses are in more dire circumstances than what we have been here, just because UWL has had a strong financial position coming into the last few years and had a record of success, which puts it among the stronger comprehensive institutions in the state.
And Chancellor Gao, have you been in communication with other chancellors or campus leadership, just about, how budget cuts have affected their regional campuses?
Oh, yeah, we talk quite frequently, and I think we all sort of struggle in the different ways, because the different magnitude on one end of the continuum, one of the smaller two-year college campuses, they're going to have particular challenges. And then, Madison is a whole other entity, and they have different funding streams. But there, too, this is challenging for them, and then all the rest of us kind of in the middle of that. So it is something that keeps you on your toes, as they say.
Absolutely. And, in thinking about budget cuts to the university system, and Brad mentioned earlier the tuition freeze that the UW system has, how do you take into consideration, the high burden of student debt that exists for, not only students in the UW system, but kind of across the U.S. right now?
Well, this is the challenge, and I've been doing this actually, almost 10 years in Wisconsin, and then, 15 years at other places. So I've been around it a little while. And the student debt issue, I think people need to remember, would not be an issue were it not for the fact that states like Wisconsin disinvested so dramatically in higher education. So the dramatic pullout of state support, and then, we respond by saying, well, we need a little more in tuition, and we did that. And then, the student's going to have to pay a little more. Now, student debt, that can be something that gets a little bit, sensationalized. And so we have to be careful about that. Many students do not have any debt. UW-La Crosse, I'd have to check my numbers, but I know, there's a substantial proportion where there's zero. So there's no debt. Now, that's not to excuse the fact that, there are students with debt, and then how much debt. And the last time I saw, the average was $26,000 total debt upon graduation. So for a four-year degree, that's not too unreasonable. You divide up the 26 over four, and it's like $7,500, or I don't do math on the radio, but it's a I think reasonable amount of money. I mean, it does cost something to live while you're going to college or university, in addition to the books and the tuition and the things that immediately come to mind. So the debt has gotten bigger. I don't think it's anything that's like a crisis, as you will hear. I do think that it is possible to find individuals who, for whatever reason, attend a really expensive school and don't get much financial aid, and they take out big loans, and they, go into a major that it's not going to be real easy to find a job in, and those stories are told. People have big debt, but I think looking at the mainstream average student, things are not dramatically different than they've always been. We ask the student to borrow some money. It's a good investment, and there'll be a great return on that investment because we know from the data that the high school graduate doesn't make anywhere near the kind of wages over the course of a career as a college graduate or somebody with an advanced degree will make. So a lot of times what happens is, and I think the politicians have been very successful at this, they shift all the focus onto student debt, avoid the fact that, well, you know, you help create that by taking the money out of the system, and then saying we're the evil people because we want to raise tuition. And, you know, this is the problem when politics get in so centrally into higher education. You can't make decisions about, you know, what is politically, based on what's politically popular. Of course, no one wants tuition to go up. I don't. You know, I wish we were like K-12, where we have adequate state funding and we don't have to have tuition. And that used to be that way in California, you know, Wisconsin, I'd have to go back, but I'm sure that, you know, we can document this well. The state used to pay 2/3 of the costs and the student 1/3, and now that's flipped around. Again, was there ever any public policy discussion on it? No, because it happens in the 11th hour, or the end of the budget process. We got to cut money. We'll take it out of the higher education. You know, but yeah, that really, I guess I would ask people who are fans of the tuition freeze, well, how long do you think it can go? I mean, tuition's got to go up sometime. I mean, you know, but if you do it based on polling, people will, and just like what is popular for now or next year, well, yeah, let's do that. That's fine. But, you know, we have to take a longer view and look at 5, 10, 15 years down the road. What does higher education look like? So I hope we get some reasonableness in that conversation.
I think that a lot of people who are, you know, feel that student debt has really gotten out of hand and would say that universities in general, not just speaking of the UW system at this point, but universities in general have really made an investment in amenities and extras, and that has contributed to the overall increase in tuition. I mean, what are your thoughts on how that plays a role in what we're charging students?
I think that's an oversimplification. You know, you'll hear about rock climbing walls and things like that. The reality is a lot of that kind of thing is built with one-time money. It really isn't, in the scheme of things, that expensive. I can tell you, you know, the students do want the highest quality residence halls. I don't blame them. You know, I mean, they want that. They want good food. They want a reasonable deal on their books. And by the way, here at UWL, you can rent your books for the whole year for under $200. I mean, that's pretty wild. When I was a student, I couldn't buy my books for a semester for $200. So we, you know, there's a lot of things you have to look a little closer at it to see, you know, how well we're really doing at it. But, you know, I think that the cost of higher education, again, it's the state support being reduced. And then, you know, we do get a lot more required things that we need to do and report on and comply with. And a lot of this comes from the federal government. So you have to hire people to do that work. So that adds a little bit to the bureaucracy. And then I think, you know, there is an awareness today of issues that 20 years ago we were shockingly behind on. Now, I take something like sexual assault. You know, in my day, that was sort of I really didn't talk about much. I know, you know, it was happening. It's always happened. But today we said we need to take that problem head on and hire somebody full time to be there to support victims, to investigate cases, to, you know, do education. So there are a lot more things happening at the university, but I think they're all there for a good reason. And the price at UWL, we're $8,500 a year. Again, I'd have to look up the exact cost on the tuition side and with the housing costs and so on. But it's right at the average for schools of our kind, yet I think what we provide, and we've verified by U.S. News and Kiplinger, is far above the average. So it's still a really good value. I wish students didn't have to go into debt, but some of them do, and you know, that's just part of this.
And Brad, yeah.
One of the things that we most wish to do on campus is very closely tied in with this idea of affordability. We really want to be able to educate a broader section of the Wisconsin population. There are many people who get priced out as tuition rises. We understand that. And so we are very committed to trying to find ways to help those individuals come to UW-La Crosse and to the other UW system campuses. That's extraordinarily difficult to do if you can't provide good financial aid or if the state funding isn't there in order to fund the university to have good quality. So we would love it if the state would say in their next budget, we'll freeze tuition, but we're going to increase the GPR funding that comes to the university. That would make it so that we would not lose affordability any more than we've already done. And we'd at the same time be able to offer high educational quality to the students who come here. So there is a part of this tuition argument that everybody on campus is in agreement with. We don't wish to raise tuition. It's just one of the only options left to us if we are otherwise capping and reducing the amount of state funding of the university. We hear all the time that the UW system is spending more money now than they ever did, and that's really that's an argument that I've heard made in the papers quite a few times, but that doesn't take into account that the budget we've got for educating undergraduate students is not part of that. That is, the budget that we've got for educating our undergraduate students is really restricted. It doesn't include large research grants that are being spent for scholarship purposes somewhere else. It doesn't include building funds, dollars that have been set aside in order to take care of necessary things. So what we've actually got with less state money being funded, given to us through funding mechanisms for training our undergraduates and a cap on tuition, is we've got fewer and fewer dollars for what we consider at a campus like ours to be our primary mission, which is the teaching of our undergraduate students plus our graduate students who are in master's level programming or health professions. There'd be a few other places I could list along with that, but you understand the point. We're being really restricted in the primary mission of the university with the way things have happened in the last couple of budget cycles.
UW-La Crosse Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach is here with us today to talk about the impacts of last year's state budget cuts and their impact on faculty and staff's view of UW system leadership. Also joining us is UWL Chancellor Joe Gao. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the faculty and staff morale at regional UW campuses. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about faculty and staff morale at regional UW campuses. Many UW faculty senate councils have recently voted no confidence in UW System President Ray Crosse and the Board of Regents. Some faculty members say they are disillusioned with university leadership over last year's $125 million cut to the UW budget and changes to the tenure system. Joining us to talk about the climate on UW campuses in our region are UW-La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao and UW-La Crosse Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach. And, you know, tenure has been something that we've kind of mentioned earlier in the conversation, but, you know, it's definitely been a point of debate. And UW Assistant President Ray Crosse has said that, you know, tenure was designed to protect free speech of professors, not to give them a job for life. You know, Brad, you know, how's this issue, first of all, been handled, tenure been handled at UW-La Crosse?
Thus far, we haven't had any major changes in how tenure is handled locally at the UWL campus. And I don't know that I expect that it will look terribly different. What has changed are the guarantees at the state level. I don't think that anybody here on campus actually thinks that tenure is a job for life. That's not the way it's been thought of by faculty typically. In fact, it's sort of the joke that you make at the water cooler. You just got tenure, now you have a job for life, you don't have to do anything. But it's a joke. That's the whole point. It's a joke. We know that that isn't the case. We have always had post-tenure review on campuses. There is always an expectation that you continue to pull your weight. And so we actually have a really strong faculty. We have good morale in most departments, although it's been really tested the last 2 years. And we have people who are, you know, continuing to do their job, knowing that their colleagues and their students are depending on them to do so. It's rare that we have anybody who doesn't do that. And I would defy anyone in industry to find a location where they've got 1,000 employees like we have, and you have all 1,000 doing an above average job. We come as close to that ideal as I think is possible.
And Chancellor Gao, you know, are you anticipating any changes to the way that UW La Crosse approaches tenure?
I don't anticipate any changes to the way we do the tenure process or just, you know, decision making at UW La Crosse. I was puzzled in the, you know, conversation at the Regents meeting about the new policy and expressed that about the who decides about a program and the future of a program. And I think that's probably the most controversial aspect of this because it puts into writing the notion that the administration can make decisions about the future of programs, and then if the program is going to be eliminated, that the tenured people in it can be laid off. That would be something new for us. Now, there's a question of whether that comports with practices around the country. I think we're in the midst of seeing a pretty significant shift where it used to be that an institution had to be in financial exigency, as they say, or distress, the whole institution, and then they could lay off tenured people. Well, I think now there's more focus on can a department be in financial distress, and then you eliminate that department. And frankly, I think that's not an unreasonable conversation to have because, you know, we do need to have students in our majors and make them vibrant, and you know, you have to have people that are interested. We do at UWL. I don't know of any low-enrolled programs. We're very efficient in that regard. But this policy goes a little further than that and says that, you know, for what are called educational considerations, a program could be discontinued, and that decision could be made by the administration. And, you know, I said at the Regent meeting, I have a background in communication studies, and I suppose I could go back and, you know, get up to speed with contemporary curricula and make some kind of reasoned decisions on that. But when it comes to a field like Brad's, you know, biology, I wouldn't know the first thing about what is educational or not. And, you know, that's the responsibility of the experts in that department, who are the faculty who are chosen for that very expertise. So I don't know that anybody's really seriously thinking about exercising that ability. It just seems something like be careful what you wish for, you know, because I really don't think we want administrators making decisions about what programs are being offered based on, you know, whether they're academically rigorous or not, or, you know, we're just not qualified to do that, and it's not how the system is set up. I would no more want to do that than I would want to go into somebody's class and grade their students. I mean, that's their responsibility, their expertise. I think it's fascinating to remember that, you know, the Board of Regents they do give me the authority to give the degrees to the graduates, so I suppose they could selectively decide this student gets a degree and this one doesn't. But boy, would they want to do that? I don't think so. So I'm hoping that things are as they have always been and that there is no rash movement. Certainly, we're not going to do that at UWL, you know, but I think it would be that, you know, people have asked me, how's this working? And I say, well, gee, I don't really know because nothing has happened yet, you know. So will it? I'm not sure. But I think we've had a great system. Sure, there are people who are at the university for a long time. That's what we want. You know, they're invested in the students, in the material, and so on. So is it perfect? You know, no. And I think Brad said it pretty well. You know, you're never going to have 150% performance from everybody in your organization. But we do a great job of, you know, for lack of a better term, policing that. And, you know, I can tell you, and you can ask him, the colleagues in a department do not, I want to assure you, award tenure lightly because they are making a very long-term decision about their department. So it's done with great rigor. And if there's ever problems, we do have mechanisms to address that.
And Brad, did you have something to add?
I do. I just wanted to say what faculty see as the primary purpose of tenure is to allow them to speak the truth about what they are educating students about. So, for example, in my classroom, I'll teach an introductory college biology course this fall. And in that course, I will talk about one of the primary theories, which is an underpinning of biology as a modern science, which is evolution. And that's a subject that I must talk about for my students to gain a good understanding of biological principle in that class. And yet it's something that I could easily imagine a politician being very upset about if they have particular points, and they may wish to fire anybody who talks about evolution in the classroom. So what this does for me in tenure is it gives me at least the ability so that if they wanted to get rid of me, they would need to take a look and see, according to what we used to have in state law, they would need to find whether there was a place for me somewhere at a minimum. And that gives me some protection against somebody making a quick decision, say, let's write that Dr. Seebach off and fire him out of the program. We don't need him anymore. We don't need the specific things that he's going to teach. And so tenure, whether you're doing research in an area that might be politically challenging for either a Democrat or Republican or some other part of society, or whether you're teaching on things that might be difficult, gives you the protection to speak the truth. That's really a primary goal for education.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the climate on regional UW campuses, how last year's budget cuts have sparked controversy among faculty and administration over university leadership. We're here with UW Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach and UWL Chancellor Joe Gao. And Brad, it's sometimes hard to kind of rally the public around issues of tenure when those are called into question because it's easy to kind of dismiss faculty's concerns as kind of selfish motivation and wanting that job security. Do you feel like that is a factor in this conversation? Do you feel like the public kind of understands faculty's concerns?
I think that the general debate in the public has been much more about that job for life idea than anything else. And is tenure offering some job security? Yes, but it doesn't offer you job security in the sense that you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do a quality job. You do have to do a quality job. And believe me, my colleagues, if I did a poor job, they may have to deal with me for a long period of time. They are happy to tell people I'm not doing my job and to tell me I'm not doing my job and to help me figure out how to do it right. So is it a job for life of poor performance? No. Is it a job for life? No. What is the debate about, and what I wished it were about, is what does tenure actually do for the benefit of the students who are getting an education at your institution? And the answer is it helps your faculty members speak honestly to difficult issues without fearing that they are going to lose their job over it. So that improves the breadth of what the teaching can be and the depth of what the teaching can be at the institution, whether it's in the theater department or the chemistry department, or whether it's in math or somewhere else in the university. And I think this gets more and more to be a difficult thing for people to understand, and gets to be more and more important the farther up in education you go, because you start getting into tricky social issues. That falls under the buzzword of academic freedom on campuses, and I know that that's one of those words that my colleagues would love to hear me say, but academic freedom is something that seems to mean something entirely different off of campus, where, again, it seems to be associated with those professors, those wacky professors can do or say anything they want to, and they can do a bad job and whatever. It's not that at all. It really is the ability to speak clearly and honestly to difficult issues that tenure is all about.
And Chancellor Gao, you know, you've mentioned, looking towards the next budget process and what that might bring. What are you expecting those conversations to look like, and what are you expecting the factors to be as legislators consider the next budget for the university?
I think that funds are going to continue to be very tight. It will be challenging for legislators to balance a budget, but they will have to do that, and I certainly respect that. We have not been one of the top priorities in the budget. That has tended to be K-12 education, healthcare, transportation, corrections. You know, we've sort of come at the end of a lot of that, and I hope that maybe there's a reconsideration of the priorities. And I don't think we're ever going to be the top priority, but that we would be higher up than we have been, and there would be a reluctance to have another big cut to our budget. That would be certainly very difficult for us and for the students, who up to this point, I can say at UWL, we've tried to make sure their academic experience has not been impacted, but we're out of cards to play, so to speak, on that front. So, if there is another big cut, it's going to mean bigger courses and harder to get into them and maybe longer to graduate, and that won't serve the students well. I think also it would be nice to see some reasonable dialogue on tuition and look at a 1% or 2% increase there, but I just, from what I've heard, there are legislators who are very reluctant to do that, so I'm not real optimistic on that. The other thing that, if you had asked me this 5-6 years ago, I wouldn't have said, but now I will, based on our experience, particularly last time out. I hope there are no more major policy changes that are conducted, through the budget process. Because they've come, again, with no advance warning and no discussion, and I don't think that's the right way to make big decisions about a system and I don't want to sound like we're blowing our own horn here, but it is an important system for this state. There's no denying that. So if there are going to be changes, I think there needs to be some open dialogue about that.
Is there any hope that things are going to kind of improve, and that that UW campuses are not going to be faced with the same concerns that they are right now?
I need to be an optimist, and I would like to think that last year or last time, 2 years really, we've hit the bottom, and that's the biggest cut we're going to see. So $250 million. I mean, it's kind of amazing that that's where our baseline is. I wouldn't have thought that would have happened, but there you are. But I would like to think that people will say, they really are down to the bone, and if we're going to keep tuition frozen, then we need to not cut so much. It would be great to see us get what we call cost to continue, which is the funding that we need to keep doing everything we've been doing. You're going to have some inflationary increases in healthcare and technology and, you know, some areas that are out of our hands. But, you know, we're really doing the best we can to try to, you know, keep everything stable. And I hope that people will respect that. You know, Wisconsin, arguably the University of Wisconsin, you know, there are few other institutions in this state that are as big and important as we are. And hopefully there'll be acknowledgement of that in the budget process in Madison.
We've been talking with UWL Chancellor Joe Gao and UWL Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach about the future of local UW campuses in light of recent no-confidence votes from UW Faculty Senate councils and state budget cuts that have sparked controversy among the UW system. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. New to the Newsmakers team this week is Matt Clark, our 2016 Newsmakers intern. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.